This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome to the Bring Your Product Idea to Life podcast. This is the podcast for you if you're getting started selling products or if you'd like to create your own product to sell. I'm Vicky Weinberg, a product creation coach and Amazon expert. Every week, I share friendly, practical advice as well as inspirational stories from small businesses. Let's get started. Today, I'm talking to Jennifer Cooper. Jenny is the founder of Jennifer Cooper Time Saver, and with her team, Jenny provides time-saving support to small business owners and entrepreneurs. Jenny is also the founder of Kindred Spirits, a community for fellow small business owners that provides opportunities for connection and collaboration with unique events and group mentoring. And as part of Kindred Spirits, Jenny has recently set up the Kindred Spirits Shop, a curated collection of stationery and crafts for small business owners. So these are perfect gifts for clients, colleagues, your team members, or even yourself. So Jenny sources all of her products from Fair, which we spoke about in a previous episode with Em Royston, who has a small business who sells her products wholesale on Fair. So speaking to Jenny today was amazing because it means we're getting the other side of the story and finding out what Fair is like for a buyer. I was really pleasantly surprised to hear that the experience for a buyer is just as positive as Em's was as a seller. And we loads, as usual, went into all the questions, all the logistics about how you curate and buy products on Fair. And I really hope that this interests and inspires you. So I would love now to introduce you to Jenny. So hi, Jenny. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Vicky.
Anytime. So let's start with you giving an introduction to yourself and your business, and then we'll move on to talk a bit about your products.
So my name is Jenny Cooper. My business is called Jennifer Cooper Time Saver. So I started out initially as a VA, and it's kind of broadened to providing support to small business owners, usually one person bands. And everything we do is time saving. So it's taking all those either boring or frustrating tasks off your hand as a business owner so you can focus on what you love about your business. And since I've done that, I've really enjoyed working with small business owners and building up a community. So as part of that, I also run something called Kindred Spirits, which is basically the world's gentlest networking events. So I do a range of really accessible, low-key networking events for people who the idea of having to stand up and introduce themselves for 2 minutes fills them with horror. And that's kind of slowly expanded. I also do some free co-working as part of that. And it's really blown me away how well that's done. My background is retail, and I couldn't leave the retail behind. So as part of Kindred Spirits now, under that umbrella, I have set up the Kindred Spirits Shop, which is selling a small amount of carefully curated stationery and cards, very much designed for the small business owner, either to save them time or to help them connect with others. So particularly things that you might want to buy for your team, for your colleagues, if you're a coach, for your clients. And that's me.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for that introduction. So first question I have for you, and this is a real question, is you are very busy. I know you're a very busy person. You have lots on your plate. You have a team to manage. What inspired you to set up a shop on top of everything else you're already doing?
I worked in retail. I think that's it. And I've got the retail bug. It's in my blood. So my grandmother used to work for sort of one of those traditional department stores. And she actually lied about her age. They wouldn't make her retire so she could work an extra few years. And she loved selling. And I think I've got it. As my mum said about my grandma, she could sell sort of snow to Eskimos, as you could say that then. And it's the same. I love retail. I love selling. I've always had the idea of doing something, but I've always been quite frustrated that I'm not a maker. I can't create product. I'm in awe of anyone who's like an artist, a maker who develops products. I've not had that idea. So it was kind of something I knew I wanted to do, but felt kind of out of touch beyond what my capabilities were. But because everything has changed so much, and because of amazing wholesalers like Fair, which I know we will talk about later, it's become really accessible to me in my room. I can now do a little bit of retail, which makes my sort of shop assistant heart happy. And I can do that on the side in a way that feels really manageable, really fits in with my brand. You know, it means I'm not carrying a lot of stock, but I get to just have some things. And it's just lovely because when I run the events, you know, I can take some little items along. I like doing pop-ups. I like doing summer fairs. And it's kind of, I can just sort of fulfill that thing that I love, that joy of just talking to people about products and selling it without it being a key part of, you know, the focus of my business. So yeah, basically because I want to do everything. So that's why I do it.
Don't they say, like, if you've got something to do, give it to a busy person? I'm sure that's actually a saying.
Yeah, no, it is. It's true. I think once you're busy, you can load more in. And this works because I love it. And as I said, it's really accessible now. And then it's lovely because, you know, I've got clients who will use it to sort of buy gifts. It's kind of, I saw a bit of a gap in that I've looked for my clients, I've looked for gifts that they could give. You know, when you welcome a new, you sign a new customer, you want to send them something to welcome them. And it kind of felt like it was quite a lot of the same sort of stuff. You know, there's some really good letterbox things, but it's often quite either the foodie end or the beauty end. And that's not always what everyone wants to do. And I have my passion, like addiction, I think it'd be fair to say, is stationery. And I just saw a gap for actually some really nice journals and some really interestingly designed sort of to-do list pads and schedulers that actually that would be a nice thing for a lot of people to send as a gift to a client. And also there's some beautiful cards out there with some really positive messages that really fit that idea of something you would send to someone you've worked with or a colleague just to go, you know, I can see what you've done. You're amazing. So that's what I've tried to create, that kind of real specific area of type of gifts to fulfill.
Oh, that's really nice. And when you worked in retail, am I right in thinking that was books, wasn't it? Or was it stationery as well?
Yeah. So I spent 18 years working for one of the major book chains in the company. I started off, I specialised in children's books. So I spent a long time doing that. So the joy of that was just getting children to read, seeing them fall in love. I did Harry Potter launches. Harry Potter's coming out. We did the midnight launch with, you know, fire eaters and everyone dressed up. So that was amazing. And then when I had children in that job, it's kind of, I went down to part-time, and running a children's section bookshop is a full-time job. So I need something else. And I was really just looking around the shop of like, what's no one really interested in? What can I do? And it was called in the bookshops, it was called RP, or related product. And basically that term covered anything that wasn't a book. So within the bookstore, it covered cards, it covered gift wrap, it covered gifts, it covered jigsaws, it covered games. So I basically swept up everything that wasn't a book and really did that. And it was, at the time, it wasn't so much of a focus for the company because, you know, people go there for the books. So it was something I could really get my teeth into, really develop, really grow and kind of lead throughout the company. And I went all in. So I got obsessed with notebooks and pens and cards and sort of learning, you know, what type of cards people like, what they respond to. Yeah, and it didn't really stop there. I think it's just when I do something, I go all in. And that's what happened with the stationery. I got to the stage where I was watching, I could watch like TV dramas and identify what the notebook was. I could see what the police are writing in and go, that's a Moleskine notebook. I know that one. So yeah, that's where it comes from.
Oh, that's interesting. Thank you. And I know what you mean. I remember when bookshops were just books, but like now if you go in, there's all the Harry Potter, using Harry Potter's example, pencil cases and rucksacks and all of the other stuff, isn't there, around the books. But you're right, I guess even 10 years ago, that wasn't as much of a thing, was it?
No, so it's definitely something that they've widened out and done. I think Harry Potter really obviously started it. I think the challenge has been for the bookshops to make sure that they don't go overboard with it and it's still a bookshop. So I know that they work really hard with the buying to, you know, for instance, maybe for the stationery coming in, but, you know, it's Roald Dahl stationery rather than just a more sort of generic brand. It's something that ties in with books, and I think it's a line they've had to tread, which is quite tricky, I think, because it does sell, and the reason it's successful is the margin's higher than it is on selling books. So it works. The margin on cards is quite astonishing, really. So from a bottom line point of view, it's brilliant. But obviously you are a bookshop, so it's making sure you don't lose that heart of it while also taking advantage of things around the side actually while they were there. So for instance, we always did really well with Valentine's cards because the cards in a bookshop you knew would be quite different to what you'd find at other high street cards, and they would be often blank and more arty. So you would get a lot of, you wouldn't have probably anyone, many people under 40 shopping there, but you would get a lot of people sort of in their 50s and 60s who would come in and didn't want, you know, the kind of the comedy card, actually a nice arty card. They would know they could go to a bookshop and get that.
That makes sense. And I guess they were curated slightly differently for a bookshop, which leads me on to your site, because obviously you're curating site products for your site, but what I'd love to know is, so you mentioned that you'd always wanted to do this, but it was difficult, because it is difficult, let's face it, sort of buying in stock and having the capital to start. So what was it that led you to think, oh, actually, this is actually doable now?
So it kind of came from two different angles. The first one was a client I worked with last year designed her own planner and had it created and produced. And this client's based in Switzerland, and it's a beautiful planner. I'm because I love stationery, I love planning, so I'm very much a paper planner. And that's possibly the best job I've ever been paid for, of like, could you proofread my planner? I was like, you don't pay me for this. This is like my dream scenario. And I remember going through it and going, this is one of the best planners I've ever seen. And then the opportunity came up that I would basically be the UK representative and just take a small amount and sell it, which was doable because I'd seen it, I loved it, and I knew I had people I could recommend it to. I tend to bond with fellow stationery lovers. So I started with that. And then I was like, oh, actually, it would make sense to have a bit more. And then at the same time, I stumbled on, I'd had people mentioning Abode and particularly Fair to Me, which are wholesale websites, and basically make it incredibly easy for you to access small independent brands and buy a small amount and hold them as stock. And it's just something that just was not there several years ago. And then in November, I particularly went for it because Fair were offering, they do an amazing deal for like your first order with them, where you get a large amount off. You get like up to 50% of the first £100. And the other thing that makes it really doable is that quite a lot of the brands have quite a small minimum order quantity. So you only need to order, I mean, some of them are as low as like £60 worth of stock. So it means it's really accessible. You're not having to go in with a lot of capital and sort of make that risk of buying where you're then sitting on a lot of stock. So I have kind of experience of buying, because back in the day in the bookshops, we used to do the buying ourselves as the booksellers. Eventually it all got centralized. So I've kind of got that experience of looking at stuff, knowing whether it will sell, what sort of quantities to take. So I kind of felt I had a bit of knowledge with that. But the thing it always felt out was like, well, minimum order quantities. And I don't have space in my house for, you know, a warehouse of stuff. But because of Fair and because of the smaller minimum order quantities and the fact I could just get six of things, so it doesn't feel like it's big financial risk, I was able to do it. And it's just been brilliant. And I am so much praise for Fair. It's just, I can't believe how intuitive and how user-friendly it is.
I'm so excited to talk to you about Fair because, as you all know, because I know you listen, we've just had released an episode. I say just, by the time this goes out, it'll be a few months back. We spoke to somebody who sells their products via Fair. So we spoke to Em Royston from Chasing Creds, and a big part of her business is via Fair. So I'm really interested to talk to you as someone on the other side of it, because I think, like you say, it sounds like a really viable option if you want to just test out selling a small line of products. I have so many questions. So am I right in thinking that Fair is predominantly small businesses, first of all, as far as you've been able to figure out?
Yes, there seems to be quite a mix on there. There's ones who are very clearly one-man band doing it out of their bedroom. There's also some more commonly known independent small business names. So ones that actually they will have their own website and they're kind of known. So I'll recognize certain ones, and they sort of tend to pop everywhere. And they've also, some of them will have, you'll recognize them from high street shops. They've obviously got that stock level as well. So it's a bit of a mix of the levels of business. But for me, I love that it connects me with the really small little businesses.
Is that sort of your strategy, as it were, to go for the really small ones, the ones that aren't maybe...
So I know certain things. It's like, well, if I know the brand name and I've seen it, it's like, well, there's no point in me having it because, you know, you can find it in a shop. I also have quite a clear idea of what my brand is. So I know what I'm looking for with kind of colours. So everything kind of fits in with my brand. So my brand's quite sort of browns, neutrals, peaches, that all basically autumn tones. So I'm automatically looking for stuff that fits with that. So there's some amazing stuff, but it's in neon. It's like, well, that's fab, but it doesn't fit in with my brand and the sort of what people associate with me. But the brilliant thing about Fair is you can search. So you can search, it will show you global, but you can search by like shops in Europe, shops in the UK, shops in the USA, but you could also search on different things. So you can search on like women-owned business. And there's just, there's loads of really different interesting ways you can filter your search. So at the moment, I'm trying to look for UK stuff because I'm also trying to think environmentally and like, I don't really want stuff to be coming from overseas. And I like that. And then I can shop, you know, I can look on women-owned. And what's lovely is you get a bit of information about each brand. So, I mean, it's dependent on the seller of how much they've put, but often people will put quite a bit of information. It's like, oh, I really like the ethos of this brand. So there's one I've used called Flourish Paperwork. So I think down in Devon, but they've just got this amazing cooperative going, and they're obviously giving a lot of people who need a bit of a sort of leg up in life opportunities to create all their products, and their stuff's amazing. And it's like all the colours tie in with me, the ethos does. So that's why it's great. You can really narrow in on your values and what matters to you, rather than almost being bombarded with too much choice. And of course, you can search by all the product types as well. So you can search by homeware, you can search by stationery, which is obviously where I spend a lot of my time. So it is brilliant, the search suggestions, and it's all very good there. The algorithms of what they suggest to you, it's very clever. So you get emails through, and so they'll update you if a brand you've used before has brought something new out, and they're very good with what they send of, we think you'll like this, and they're pretty spot on with what they think you'll like. It's very easy. You can favorite brands and then follow that. You can favorite items. It's whoever's put that website together has done such a good job of just making it so easy to use.
That's really, really interesting, because often, so when I spoke to Em, I know that as a small brand who sells via Fair, she also had really positive things to say. So it's really nice to hear you say this from a buyer's perspective, because the two don't often match up. I mean, as you know, you've heard me say this so many times about Amazon as a buyer, brilliant, as a seller, not so much. So it's actually, this is actually very positive. I like this. One thing I'd like to know is, so, and sorry to just bombard you with questions about Fair, Jenny, but I'm so interested. And I'm sure everyone else will be as well. Because I do know we have some listeners who have curated shops. Yeah. So what about the recommended resale price? Are you told what you can sell a product for, or is that down to your own discretion? How does it work?
Yes, they do have recommended retail price, and it's quite clear that you need to sell it at that. But I actually like that, because it takes away from you, and it means that there's not any, it just feels right. And this is a terrible pun, but it feels fair. I'm sorry about that, Vicky. I like that. And it just means that you can make a decision, because you can look at, they'll tell you, obviously, that is normally always a very good discount. It's normally at least 50%, if not more. You can just make an instant decision of like, okay, that's the price. Do I think that it's that price and I can sell it at that price? So I like that. I like that there's not movement and you're not then trying to decide.
Yeah, I like that as well. And I just was really curious as to how that worked, because what you wouldn't want as a brand owner is someone devaluing your products and your brands. So it's really good actually that you are given that price. So I guess, because you know me, I love logistics. So is it a case of you buy the products from Fair, you get them sent to your home or wherever you are, in your case, it is your home, and then you pop them on your website? Is it really?
Yeah, so it's really simple. So yeah, they really encourage you to get started. So obviously the first order I did, it was, they basically would take, I think it's 50% off up to £100. Obviously, I think they absorb all that, because I don't think it comes out of the seller. It's just Fair is so keen to get people using it. You just place it with the sellers. So it will tell you with each seller. So the sellers will set different minimum order quantities. So I've seen some as low as 30, 60 pounds. Others are, you know, £200. It's very easy in the basket. It does all, there's no maths needed. It does all the maths for you of like, you've got this much and so on. And then basically you click through. You only get charged as each seller dispatches the item. All the sellers dispatched it really quickly. I think one seller didn't have the item in stock, but you're not charged for that. That's fine. They just let you know. The other thing as well that was great was I did have one item that came through It was like a two-part piece. So it's like affirmation cards that then have a little wooden stand so you can put them in that. And some of the cards were missing. So I just got in touch. It was so easy. You were immediately credited for the item. Seller was like, absolutely fine, no problem. They immediately sent it out and then you get charged again. But I thought that was really impressive that I was immediately credited. And it was all just handled so well. It wasn't stressful. There wasn't a like prove this. There wasn't a back and forth on email. It was really, really clear. I can't even remember how to do it because it was so clear and simple what to do if if basically your order hadn't come through right. And obviously the packages, they all came through really nicely. Obviously some people had really, like when you get Etsy shops, some people had really gone for it with the delivery. I remember the Flourish Paperworks, they put a few free cards in as well, which was really lovely with just a gift for you. And obviously then you're like, oh, that brand's so nice. They didn't need to do that. But then that's more things I can use to showcase the brand. The other thing that's great as well as a seller is you can use the images that they've put on the website. So if you're like me and it's like, I want to take photos, but I don't quite have time. I've just been able to just download the images that they've used for that product on the website, and you're allowed to do that and then sell through that. So that's another way. It makes it really simple because otherwise that's a huge extra piece towards selling products. But if you've already got the photos you can use, you're sorted.
That's really good, Frank. I do have so many logistical questions. That was one of them. And how about the product descriptions? Is that the same? Can you take the descriptions from Fair, or are you encouraged to?
Yeah, so you can take the descriptions. They kind of, I guess they vary quite a bit. It's not standardized because it's down to each seller. So I found what I did was I took like the bare bones of it, and then was obviously trying to write everything in my style. So I've kind of, my descriptions start with sort of more me, then it'll go more into the practical. And then obviously putting all the measurements and things, and you'll find that not everyone loads measurements in the same way, or some people use inches and some use centimetres. So you're just trying to standardise all that. Some people give you weight, some don't. So there's a little bit of, I guess in an ideal world, that would be standardised, but it's really not a problem. So I used a combination because I think I wanted to put my own twist on it. But I know that if you used, so at the moment my website, I'm just my own personal website is on WordPress, and I didn't want to invest in something extra at this time. So the shop is hosted on my website through WooCommerce. But I know that if eventually I would like to set up a separate Shopify website for that. And I know from what I've read with Fair that you can just download your order, everything from Fair, and it will all just automatically upload to Shopify. So you're not manually entering things. I think if you just press the right buttons, it will all automatically go through. Which, I mean, that's just amazing. So, yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to trying out when I'm at that level with the shop.
That sounds amazing. And I do know that Shopify have just done it, well, I say just fairly recently done a big new update. And I believe that is part of it. So, yes, you would have all the pictures and descriptions. Then obviously you could go in and edit. Shopify is amazing. And it seems to sync with everything, which is fantastic. And I guess it does sound like a bit of work, obviously, getting your products, getting them on the website. But presumably for a lot of the brands you've ordered from, I don't know, I could be guessing, I'm guessing here, Jenny, but I assume that for at least a percentage of them, you're going to reorder. So actually you've done that initial work, but it's not like you're constantly. Well, I'm sure you are adding new lines. What I'm trying to say is for a lot of the brands, if you're planning on reinvesting in those products down the line, then actually it's sort of setting you up long term. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I think I'm going to play with it a bit because I think for me, this is like my fun bit on the side of the business. This isn't going to be the main money earner. It's not going to be where the majority of my working time is spent. This is basically me fulfilling my I want to run a shop dream. So it's that. So I'm quite enjoying that takes the pressure off because I'm not, it's not like it's got to perform this and deliver this. It's much more like I'm just going to have fun with this and just really see what resonates with people. Yeah. And already it's been quite interesting because I know like years of retail, you think there's some stuff you can predict, but it always catches you by surprise what the product is that someone else identifies with, or you think it will be used in a certain way. And actually they're like, this is how I'm going to use it. And you're like, oh, wow, I wouldn't have even thought that. So that's what I'm enjoying with it, seeing how people interpret things and how they're using. And I suspect what I will do is I'll probably have some core items, which I think will be, I will keep stocking them. But I also think it's really good to kind of change up your stock and keep it fresh. So I suspect I'll have sort of a core range at the middle, and then probably around the edges, I'll freshen it up and sort of bring in new things for the different seasons.
That really does make sense. And also there'll be new products coming out all the time. So that's really nice as well. And out of interest, as of now, are you happy to tell us what's the biggest seller right now?
Well, the Panna has been the biggest seller just because of the time of year. So it was December, January. So I was like, I need a planner. Yeah. But actually, two of the cards have done really well. So they're, one of the cards is about... it's like a picture of a plant, and it's like you should give yourself the own care that you give other people, and a kind of plants. And another one is a quote about sort of look how far you've come. And actually those ones have both done really well. They've obviously really resonated with people. And then stationery wise, there is a little habit tracking pad, which is actually, it's really simple. It's probably about A6 size, and it's just a week, and then just like blocks so you can tick things off. But because it's so simple and small, I think that's quite appeal to people, as it's because some of the, you can get these amazing journals for habits and things, but they almost get overwhelming. There's so much they're asking you to fill in, and it's kind of, it overdoes it. Whereas this just makes it really simple. Just tick, tick, tick. And yeah. And actually I know someone, and one of the people who bought it, they actually bought it for an elderly relative to use as a medicine tracker, so they could actually just tick off, and they wanted something really simple. It wouldn't have suited this person if there'd been too much design going on. They just wanted something nice and simple. So yeah, that's what I mean by it can really surprise you why people buy them and what they intend to use it for.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I saw the habit tracker, and I, for my first thought was it'd be great for kids, you know, to track off the things they're meant to be doing. And were they?
That's a good point. I should use that for my child.
Honestly, that's what I think. I'm going to buy one for that, because just they can tick off what they should, you know, fill in the boxes and tick down, you know, have you done your reading or whatever. Yeah. I thought that was really nice. Were they the things, because just curious now, were they the things you predicted would sell well?
I knew the cards would. And what's interesting with the cards is I knew that there was two or three that were going to be the ones that would sell. But I also knew that sometimes you need a bit more just to show that there's a range. But the ones on the edge probably sell less, but needed to be there to give a little offering. Yeah. And I think with all the pads, it's interesting because I've got a few fairs booked in the summer. So I haven't really done an event yet. Got one next week, but where I've had the products out physically in front of people to see how they respond. But I'm really interested when I do the summer fairs, I've got two booked in, just local village fairs. I mean, to me, that's just an ideal day out. I get to sit in the sunshine and talk to people all day and maybe sell a few things. I mean, that's my dream. But yeah, I'm really interested to see that, because sort of past experience of when I've done that sort of thing, it's quite different what people buy to what you expect.
Thank you. Yeah. And what would be your advice to anyone who's listening and they're going, oh, I really like the sound of this, but I don't have a retail background and I don't know what would sell. What would you say to someone who's thinking that?
I think trust your instincts. And the easiest thing is to buy what you like and then market to yourself. That makes sense. So market to people like you. I think it's probably very hard in a retail background to try and select stuff for quite a different market, unless you've got a lot of people you can say for children that, but you've got a lot of people in the age range you can say what do you like. So yeah, I would say to keep it simple, just go for what you like and then market to those people.
That makes sense, because I think you need to have someone in mind, and even if that someone is you. I think it's particularly for this kind of thing where, as you say, it's not a massive initial outlay. Of course it's money, and you know, you need to have the money to invest. But actually, if there is a potential to just buy five of something and see if they sell, it's just a lot less pressure, isn't it, actually?
I think the other thing that really helps is if you've got a really clear idea of what you're going to do. So I'm going to do a shout out for a friend and someone I work with who's called Kate, and she runs an online store called Woodlands Bay. Now her concept's really clear. So she is basically, it's designed around the senses. So it's designed around like touch, smell, sight, and it's sort of items for your home that are kind of calming and would soothe those senses. So for her buying is brilliant. She's got a small limited range, but everything in it is exquisitely chosen because she's really, really clear on what she's looking for. And to anyone who goes to the website, it's amazing, because as well as shopping by product, you can shop by scents. But I think that's why it's so successful, because she's got such a clear vision of what she's trying to do and what she's looking for. So I'd say that would be the other thing, either buy for yourself or just have a really, really clear vision of what you're trying to do.
That's so helpful. Thank you. I really like that example. I think you're right. I had Lindsay Pollard from Little Box of Books on here ages ago. Lindsay was one of my first episodes, and she was selling children's books that were inclusive. And she had, you know, she really knew, I'm obviously surmising that, but she really knew what that meant to her and exactly what she was looking for. And I think that does make it tons easier. And I've spoken to a few people on other episodes who curate a product range, and they've all said exactly the same thing. If you really know what you're looking for, I can see how it just met. And you've got, you know, a criteria almost tick box to go through, that it would make it so much easier. Because I think otherwise, I'm imagining it, it's sort of place you could spend hours and you could really
get swayed. You become the kid in the candy shop. One of my first jobs years ago, I worked in a department store in the toy department, and it had like one of those like pocket money spinners, and it was hilarious. There's just this man in a van who came round, and he had all those like pocket money toys in the back. And for some reason, they let me, as like a 21-year-old, no experience, go in with like however much £100 budget and just buy what you think. It's like, I don't know what was buying. I was just whatever my eyes went to. And I think you could be like that, you know, you're going somewhere like fair, you could just be like, there's so much. So for me, it's really helped that I know I'm looking for stationery, I know I'm looking for certain colours, and that instantly narrows it down. So it's just, yeah, I guess it's almost like anything when there's so much choice, you know, like a wedding or something, you need to know some parameters that you're like, right, I can rule that out, and just reduce the choice so that it's manageable.
That makes sense. Yeah. And before you go on to fair and you just start happily ordering products, do you have to prove that you have a some sort of shop or that you are a legitimate business? What if anything is involved?
It was quite simple. They just wanted a website and details of where you were selling. But yeah, it wasn't a particularly like long approval process. I don't think there's anything more detailed than probably just I think they might have asked how long you're in business. But it was not a long process. But yeah, the key thing is, I think, that you can show that you've got a website where you're going to be selling it.
Okay. And do they restrict? So I'm asking you all these questions like you're the fair expert. I do need to get someone from fair on this podcast. That is my goal for this year. So I can ask them all the tricky questions, because you may or may not know this, Jenny. But do you know if you're only allowed to sell products on your website, or whether you can sell them in a physical store, if you have a store, or if you can sell them anywhere else?
I don't know, but I think you must be able to sell in a physical store. I'm at the level now where I'm guessing rather than know authoritatively.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I'm realizing I'm throwing all these questions at you like you're We have to find someone from Fair Jenny who can come and talk to us.
We do, yes.
That's what I need.
If you're listening, we really want to talk to you, because I think that you're an amazing business and it's brilliant what you're doing.
Yeah, we do need to get someone on so I can ask them all the questions. Yeah. There will be lots, I'm sure. Well, thank you so much for all of this, Jenny. I think we've reached a point now where we're just going to be asking you things that are way beyond.
The other thing also I wanted to mention as well, actually, is they're really keen when you're on the website. They've got a lot of incentives at the moment to kind of introduce brands to there. So they're really looking for people to sort of join the team and sell through it. And that would actually be one of my comments of... I'm like a frustrated creator, you know. I'm not an artist. I can't create what I want, but I've had some really good collaborations with local artists. So there's a printmaker called Emma Evans Freak who runs something called Blackbird House Designs. So I've done some collaborations with her. I kind of give her a brief of, I want something saying this, and then with these sort of pictures and these sort of colours, and she's created this amazing thing. So one of my things for like my whole business, I'm using this phrase, build a business like a home. And I would just wanted it initially as just postcards that I could use as like my business card. But I've had so many people remark on it. She's now had them made. So there, I've now got A4 and A3 prints of this phrase, because several people said to me, I'd buy that if that was a print. And I will be listing on that website. It will be on there by the time this podcast is out. So I think there's a real opportunity for artists and makers to kind of look for people like me who would love to sell, but can't create it themselves. I just think there's a real opportunity there that I would love to say to makers, there's a real option if you were interested in that sort of collaboration of people like me who don't have those skills, but have a bit of an audience, have the tech know-how, maybe have the passion for retail.
That's really nice to know. And I know that I feel like fair's been around a while, but still not everyone's heard of it, and it's still relatively new as these things go. So that's really good to hear, because I do think it's something that will grow in interest, and hopefully you've given people the confidence to have a look and give it a go. And I would also say that if, because obviously this episode is going out a few months after the M. Royston episode, which I believe is the very first time we ever mentioned Fair on this podcast. Yeah. So if you haven't already listened to that, go back and listen to that and listen to M's experience as a seller, because I really feel that that gives a really good complete picture of what it's like. And yeah, as I say, I will try very hard to get someone from Fair on here as well, because I'd love to learn more, and especially for both buyers and sellers, to how you can have like the best possible experience on there, because so far everything I'm hearing is really positive.
Brilliant.
And I have one final question for you, Jenny, before you go. You know I will. Yeah. Which is, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product curators? I had to say that very carefully because I usually say creators.
Yeah. Curators. Yeah. Give it a go. I think the joy of something like Fair means that you can do it in a very nice dip your toe in the water without it feeling like you've made a huge financial commitment. Be creative with how you're going to sell the item. So I think you do need to kind of have an idea of what you're going to do if something's maybe not performing as you want, and have backup plans. And remember, with everything, is just, you don't have to do any of these things alone. Just, you know, my whole thing is kindred spirits and community, and just reach out to other people, brainstorm ideas with other people, get advice from other people, you know, listen to podcasts like yours. With all these things, you don't have to figure it out on your own. There's a whole wealth of people in the small business community who, in my experience, all incredibly generous with their time and advice and wisdom, and would love to help you.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again, and see you next week. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.